The following podcast is brought to you by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. There is no better value in public golf than Crosswinds. Take it from me. I've played all over the province. Public golf everywhere. Crosswinds is the best. Nestled between Rattlesnake Point and Mount Nemo on the Niagara Escarpment, Crosswinds offers million-dollar views, a beautifully manicured golf facility, and memories that will last a lifetime. Just 45 minutes from downtown Toronto, depending on the time of day, Crosswinds charges about half what you'd pay at a Toronto area course, and it's in tremendous shape, unlike some courses I've played this summer. If you want to play a great golf course at a great price in a beautiful setting, check out Crosswinds. But you'd better hurry because tee times are going fast. Yes, it's that popular. Go to crosswindsgolf.com, and when you get to Crosswinds, tell them Hebsy sent you. Now, let's start the podcast. And welcome to Hebsy on Sports, episode number 200.
Woo!
I'm Mark Hepscher. Woohoo!
Hold on, man.
Mark Hepscher here at the studios in Little Italy. Toronto Mike is in the studios in New Toronto. That's the part of town that Mike lives in. It's New Toronto. It's a very small area, isn't it?
It's not Mimico, Hebsy. It's not Mimico.
I didn't say Mimico.
No, I know. I'm talking to the others
out
there.
I didn't say Long Branch.
Jay Ferguson thought he was in Mimico. I had to correct that, man.
What is he? Today is Jackie Robinson Day. It kind of snuck up on us because normally Jackie Robinson, normally in a normal year, is April 15th of every baseball season. And on April 15th, every player in Major League Baseball wears number 42 to honor Jackie Robinson, the first man to break baseball's color barrier in 1947. And so Jackie Robinson Day was rescheduled for today, August 28th, but nobody could have predicted how important and how significant this day would be. In addition to it being Jackie Robinson Day, look what's going on. No NBA playoff games today. No NHL playoff games today. Major League Baseball teams will make their own decisions today. But I have to believe that all games will be postponed. Even though there were 8 games played last night in Major League Baseball. Just as sort of not as if nothing was going on, but players decided to vote to play in 8 games. So how significant was the day? How significant is the protest, the boycott, whatever you want to call it, strike? How significant was it that there are still 8 games played in baseball? And can baseball get their act together? Are they as guilty as the NHL? Anyway, we'll get into that. Many NFL teams canceled practice yesterday in protest. Certain athletes in other sports have refused to play, but not everybody. That's kind of disturbing. Not everybody's on board with this. I think some guys had to be, kicking and screaming. Do you want to play? Yeah, we want to play. Well, the other team doesn't want to play. Well, we want to play. We want to win. Who plays it? We play to win. We've been waiting all these months to play. Now we're playing, and now you're telling us to vote to not play? And it's a conundrum for some people.
For sure.
But I can't speak to that because I'm not a professional athlete, although I would have loved to have been one. Also, I was a professional sports broadcaster. Know a little bit about the business, media, and we're going to talk about some personalities at Rogers Sportsnet who are no longer employed there.
Hebsy,
you haven't read this anywhere because it's not out there anywhere, but I noticed a few inconsistencies while all this was going on in light of the Chris Cuthbert now as a Rogers Sportsnet broadcaster thing, and we don't hear any other except for Jim Houston and Craig Simpson. Those are the only play-by-play voices that we hear on Rogers Sportsnet. What happened to some of the other guys? Talk about that. Other tidbits from the world of sports. Toronto Mike joins me as always.
Hebsy,
how are you?
You said you were a professional sports broadcaster. I like to think you are one.
Okay.
Well, not mainstream media because you're fiercely independent.
No, that's true.
But you're still a professional broadcaster.
I know, but when someone says, hey, what are you doing now? I turn on the television and I don't see you. Rather than try to explain, the internet, YouTube, Periscope, Facebook, I don't even bother.
Well, that person usually speaks before they put their dentures in. It sounds like an older demographic.
<Don't say that. laughs> My parents have, both my parents have their teeth.
Oh, good. Good, good. No, keep your teeth. This is a PSA, everyone. Take care of your teeth.
Here's the quote of the year, in my opinion. I have no idea what's going on in the outside world. You know who said that?
Yeah, because I saw it on Twitter yesterday.
Right.
But tell us.
That'd be Alain Vigneault, the coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. That's a hockey team. And they're in a bubble. And his job is on the line. He has to win hockey games, win a playoff series in order to keep his job. He's not thinking of anything else. He doesn't care about the weather, not one bit. He doesn't care about the traffic. He's in a bubble. Now, for us to go, oh, he's in a bubble. If I've never been in a bubble before. I've never been in a controlled, isolated environment before. I've never been to jail before. I've never been incarcerated. Never been forced, except in my own home for a while, to stay in one place. I could go outside. Nobody could say anything. I could go shopping. I had a mask on. No big deal, right? But to be in isolation for that many days, for that long a period of time, has got to weigh on your head. It's got to. And man, people are getting angry. People aren't getting happier in the bubble. You think just because a team wins a playoff series, the Raptors, they're that much happier because they dispatched, Brooklyn in four games? No, they got to spend a longer period of time in the bubble and away from their families and away from their routine. And some of these guys are like, I can't take it anymore. I need out of here. So this has a lot to do with how a guy like Alain Vigneault could say something so dumb.
But wait. You're okay, because he's not in jail, right? Like, they have Wi-Fi in the bubble.
But he's
right?
In a bubble. He's in a controlled environment.
But there is Wi-Fi.
So he's 24/7 hockey.
Well, honestly,
he's not okay. Flipping on CNN or Fox News to see what's going. He's, you know what I mean? He doesn't care what's going on in the NBA or baseball. Or his job is to win hockey games. And he's in an environment that only makes that even more obvious. There's no distractions. When asked about, he could have said, look, don't ask me about things that I don't know enough about. And that would have been fine. But when a reporter says, what do you think of the boycotts, the postponements, the player strikes and the other leagues? And, that the National Hockey League isn't doing this. His response is, I have no idea what's going on in the outside world. As if to say, I'm so into trying to win a playoff series that these things don't affect me. Should they affect him?
But Hepsi, I think that's a cop out. Like, I think I don't care how laser focused you are on winning the Stanley Cup. During your 24-hour day, I feel like as a citizen of the world, you should be aware of what's happening in the on the small planet that you inhabit with 7 billion other people. Like, I don't care. He's not in jail. He's got Wi-Fi. He doesn't have to spend 4 hours on Twitter, okay, being distracted. But you can check in on the news at, maybe 11 p.m. at night. You can quickly find out all the highlights of what's happening in your world, in 10 minutes.
Right, but what if your boss says to you, look, if you don't win this playoff series, you're fired. So I don't care what it takes. I don't care if you have to work 24 hours a day. I don't want you thinking about anything except for getting our power play working.
That's insane. Like, think about that's insane. That's absolutely insane. That's worse than, that's worse than when we hear stories of like, the slave laborers you hear about in Cambodia or whatever. That's absolutely insane what you're suggesting.
Okay. So if it's so insane, why is it that the National Hockey League, who apparently, fairly sharp people working there, why did they think, the league think, that a moment of reflection was the proper thing to do?
Because this league has been tone deaf for a long time. Like, this is one of many examples we saw. I was not surprised. Were you surprised that the NHL did almost nothing?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. And I'll tell you why. Because I thought that the players would have put pressure on the league or would have done what the NBA players did and ultimately many baseball players and and soccer players to say, no, you know what? I'm protesting. I'm making a symbolic gesture here. I'm standing, literally going to stand with my brethren in other sports, and I refuse to play. Because remember, first it was, is everybody kneeling and are they all holding hands? And then it was with the NHL where the black players, you know, the Matt Dumba and Evander Kane and players like Wayne Simmons, says players such as that, you know, they would kneel while their teammates, you know, put their hands on their shoulders. I mean, I felt bad for Matt Dumba that time, right? He's kneeling and the other guys are still standing, you know, on the ice with their hands on the shoulders.
Right.
So, you know, for the National Hockey League to kind of go, okay, you guys decide, for the players not to step forward there at the time, for it to take a couple extra days. Yeah, I was disappointed in that. But now everybody's on board. So let's forget about that and who's to blame and the finger right. point.
Is it too little too late though, Hebsy?
The league, it's not up to the league necessarily. It's no. up to the players.
Up to the players.
To tell the league, we're not standing for this. We are boycotting.
Right.
Not waiting for a decision from the league, because the league's not going to go, hey guys, you want to boycott?
No, this comes from the players. This is a wildcat
right.
strike.
And the NHL players were slow to react. Okay. And I don't know. I hear it was, it started in Vancouver mm-hmm. and there were some key guys and I don't want to mention names because I don't want to neglect the important people, but anyone that was, that's part of that initiative, the guys that are front and center, they were the ones that had to say to their white teammates, hey guys, you know, are you with us or are you against us? Because if you're with us, we really could use you guys like right now versus, you know, hey, we're in the middle of a playoff series. We only want to play hockey, you know? So to penetrate that particular bubble, that individual, that's a tough thing to do, to go to hockey players and say, guys, I know we're in game 3 of a wild playoff series, but man, look what's going on in other sports. We can't let this happen. Are you with me? Right. And to finally get that support, maybe a couple of days too late, but to finally get it was very important. But at the time, the NHL wasn't going to step in and say, all right, let's do what other leagues are doing. Because it was up to the players. It wasn't the NBA. It was the players.
Right. This was a player.
And
make
this is
no
the
mistake.
First time ever that players have decided and have had the power to make these decisions stick. Never in the history of professional sports have the players had power like this. And good for the NBA players for using it. But I would have liked to seen them go a step further. I would have liked to have seen the NBA players say, we're not playing, but in the 3-hour time period or 2-hour time period that the television networks had allotted for us, we want to talk to people. We want to have an open forum and an open discussion. We want to take your questions. We want to hear your stories. We want to educate and inform. So for those 3 hours, instead of watching us play basketball, which we're very good at, we want you to hear about us as men, as black men, and what we've gone through. That to me would be must-see TV.
I hear you. I'm not going to criticize them for not doing enough, sort of like right on the heels of them doing more than ever before.
No, now's the time you have to do it though, Mike. Well, you've got the momentum.
Well, they got our attention now.
You have to hijack the airwaves. And it wouldn't even be hijacking the airwaves. Every reporter would love to be able to speak freely with NBA players, right?
Sure, sure.
These are the stories we want to hear.
Right, 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 right. I just want to quick to return to the NHL. I still remember seeing a happy, smiley Sidney Crosby and his Stanley Cup champion Penguins happily taking a trip to the White House to take photos with Donald Trump.
Right.
And when they decided they were doing that, you know, I remember at the time being, you know, hugely disappointed with the right. tone deafness of this league. And it's becoming harder and harder to support the NHL with...
wait a minute.
Go ahead.
What about the NHL's partners? What about the television networks?
Well, this is, to me, this wildcat strikes that we've been seeing over the last couple of days are 100%, you know, labor driven. This is the laborers are the players and they're choosing not to work. It's not even a union thing. The players are just not going to work. Wildcat strike.
That's what it is.
It's a wildcat strike. And that comes, as you know, that literally comes from the players. The players meet, the players make the decision. Are we taking the ice or not? And the NHL players that night, and I'm not talking, I know they made a decision yesterday, which was nice to see. But at the time, man, they did that moment of silence in the first game. And I think the second game they did, nothing really different. And damn it, that next day I said, I wish the Leafs were still in the playoffs so my boycott would mean something. Like, if I stopped watching the NHL now, it's like, oh, that's probably what I was doing anyways. But I just wish the Leafs were still there so I could turn off the damn TV and say goodbye, NHL. Like, I was really angry.
Now, that would be a boycott.
That's a boycott. That's my boycott, right?
That, and that's a boycott in response to a strike.
That's a boycott in response to a lack of Wildcat strike by the NHLers.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that if the players decided to strike, which they've done these 2 days, they've said, we're not going to play.
Right.
And you supported the players, you would boycott the television networks and anything else that the National Hockey League would put out there?
No.
Because the television networks are kind of married. The sports networks are married to the leagues here, right?
Right, but my point was the decision to basically that night when we learned that the three NBA games were not happening because I guess it started with the Bucks. And, that
the
night.
Milwaukee Bucks, well, here's what happened. Okay. The Milwaukee Bucks were prepared to forfeit their game against the Orlando Magic. They were prepared to forfeit.
And that's
we'll
a sacrifice.
Give a W to Orlando.
That's a huge sacrifice.
In a playoff game.
Yep, game
they're
five.
They're prepared to do that. And when Orlando found out about that, they agreed not to accept it as a forfeit,
right,
but to stand with the Bucks. And when word traveled very quickly that Orlando was now agreeing to postpone a playoff game, that's when the other two playoff games, and I'm trying to think which ones they were now, correct me if I'm wrong, one was Utah against Denver. Anyway, whatever
it was. The Lakers.
Yeah.
They had game five, right. Yeah.
So once that happened, the NHL, depending on who you talk to, the games were an hour away. They were on their way to the game. They were prepared for the game. But the thing that got me the most was, if you happen to be watching the NBA on TNT that night, Kenny the Jet Smith, who's on, Inside the NBA, which is that what it's called on TNT?
I don't know, but it's great. It's great.
He walked off. He basically couldn't, he wanted to stand in solidarity and he walked off the broadcast. He basically said, I don't think I can do this broadcast. I can't do it.
Right.
And took off his microphone and his earpiece and walked off the set. To which, as soon as he did, I said, this is fantastic. This is unprecedented. This is a guy who basically says, if these guys can't play a game with this going on in their lives, I can't be at my best as a television performer, and I'm going to walk with them. I thought that was fantastic.
Agreed.
But the same night, and I'm only going to use Kelly Rudy as an example. There were, I believe, Elliot Friedman, I believe Chris Simpson as well, that I know of, had expressed on the air or via Twitter their displeasure in having to do the NHL games that night.
Kelly Rudy is a great example because that was on air. Because you're right. Christine Simpson, I think, was a tweet. But it was Rudy was on the telecast. Right.
So Kelly Rudy said, and I'm just going to paraphrase here. He said, I don't think we should be here. This is on the national telecast, right? I don't think we should be here. I think the NHL should postpone the games. So that was during Wednesday night. So that was when he had learned that the NBA... I believe Major League Baseball, a couple of games they had decided not to play, I think, MLS and WNBA. So the four other leagues had basically said, we're not playing tonight. And when he found that out, he said, I really feel we should be more supportive of Black Lives Matter. I know for myself, instead of watching hockey tonight, I'd prefer to be having this conversation with my family. So that was great. But I was hoping at that point he would just, same thing, he would just say, so I can't continue. I need to talk to my family, take off the microphone, leave.
Whew. Yeah.
But instead, when he didn't do that, it basically said, yeah, so that's how I feel, but let's get on with the game. If you really felt that way, you got to put your money where your mouth is. Now, Kenny Smith's got big cojones, but at the same time, man, as soon as he did that, it clicked in for millions of people because this was a guy that they knew more intimately than any player. This is a guy they've been watching on TV, seen him interact. They know what type of a guy he is. And he's not even thinking about his job. He's thinking about, as a human being, what he's gone through and how still things are this way.
And as a former player, he's got that solidarity still with
but he can't perform.
Right.
So if Kelly Rudy would have said, guys, I can't do this game tonight. I can't get up for the Jonathan Marchessault or Marc-Andre Fleury or connection. I can't, not today, not now. I need to, it's like there was a death in the family. I can't do it.
Right.
I'm not up for it. So symbolically, I'm taking it off now. I'm gone. Now, what would that have done to the panel? How would Ron McLean and the others have reacted? I would have made for pretty powerful television. And that message could have gone, and the NHL players could have immediately gone, holy shit, look at this. This is, guys, we got to get out of our bubble here. We got to stand behind this. We have to take the same stand.
And I'm just, now that I envision it, I realize it works much better when you're on a set and you can walk off a set. I realize Kelly Rudy's like in his, I don't know, his den or something at home. Like, right. He's got to take off the headphones and walk away, I guess, from the camera.
Why not?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And also, like, Kenny Smith, solidarity with the player. Of course, Kelly Rudy, former player as well. Like, you'd think, it has more weight, I find, when it comes from a former player. But
right. So the fact that on the NHL broadcast, the participants were likely adhering to the guidelines that their producers had set out, that Rogers Sportsnet had set out as the rights holder and as the world feed provider for the Western games, I guess. I mean, that's a big investment, right? You're talking about a company as well that when they signed this deal with the National Hockey League, how many years ago has it been now? 8 years ago, nine, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is there one person left? I think Elliot Friedman might be the only person left from the original.
Ron McLean
group. Yeah, and Ron. But I mean, everyone else, they've moved out, right? Strombo, Damian Cox, John Shannon, Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean, Paul Romanuk. So the list goes on. I've got other Sportsnet names that I'll talk about.
Oh, yeah, we'll say, because I want to hear your exclusive there, even though one of the names I think I know.
But they're a partner. And so they, as much as you'd like to have them do like real journalism with the, you know, against the NHL to tell the real stories that are going on, they can't. They're kind of handcuffed.
Yeah. Okay,
so for Christine Simpson to tweet out saying, I don't feel comfortable doing this, you know, that still takes some guts. I mean, her bosses could say, hey, you know what, Christine, your job is to do this and we want to hear your opinion. And
right.
I don't know if they ever did something like that.
Probably that wouldn't play very well in this environment, I can tell you right now. But you know who else was? I want to give some shout out quickly to Tara Sloan, though, because she was very clearly heartbroken and disappointed at the lack of action that night from the NHL. Twitter, I should point out, of course. But yeah.
Yes. Oh, no, she was. And a lot of people were. I was. I was as well. But I wanted to see how it played out. And I was most interested in seeing how the Sportsnet telecast would present itself to Canadians, its subscribers and followers, as a somewhat of a leader in getting the story out there and getting, you know, diversified opinions, but also getting angry. I didn't see anybody get real angry, right? And should it have been David Amber or Anthony Stewart because they're men of color? I don't know. But I just, you know, I kind of felt that all of them sort of had a producer in their ear or somebody on their shoulder, you know, kind of going, remember, we're Sportsnet. We are partners with the National Hockey League.
Right.
Don't forget. Now, Don Cherry, he wouldn't have worried about something like that. Bob McCowan would not have worried about something like that. These outspoken broadcasters that Sportsnet doesn't have anymore would have said something. And they might have walked off.
What about a Brian Burke? I feel like he might be a guy who wouldn't care about ramifications for telling it like it is.
I don't recall anything significant that Brian Burke said that night. So.
Right. Okay. Because I didn't watch it all. I only saw the Kelly Rudy clip on Twitter.
Right. So anyway, you know, and I like Kelly Rudy. I think he's great. But I think in that particular moment, I think for Kelly Rudy to say, you know what, I'm going to go visit with my family and hug them now. And I got to talk about this. I'm really not into discussing the X's and O's of the Vegas Vancouver game.
But props to Kelly Rudy for at least speaking on the air that his opinion, which is that they should not be playing that game that night, which I think that at least that is a step that he took that I was happy to see.
I would have liked to have seen him take an even bigger step. Like I said, Kenny Smith, what he did, that was fantastic, phenomenal. So here's a quote.
Yes.
The NHL were always last to the party, especially on these topics. That's from Matt Dumba, who said it on Vancouver's Sportsnet 650 radio. It's kind of sad and disheartening for me and other members of the HDA, that's the Hockey Diversity Alliance, and I'm sure other guys across the league. If no one stands up and does anything, it's the same thing. It's that silence that you're just outside looking in on actually being leaders and invoking real change when you have such an opportunity to do so.
Well said. That's a good quote. Dumba. That's a good quote.
That's a good quote.
Wow. And I agree with
him. We're all learning.
Yeah.
We're learning, and we've been learning for quite a while, that sports is not the be-all and end-all. We knew all about that. But this perfect storm of where else do we have the opportunity and the platform during COVID-19, the horrible 2020 year that it is, and a captive audience that's now dying to see sport again after months of not and seeing their favorite players and all that, what better platform will there ever be than this one?
Can I take a moment just to say how, like in retrospect, and I always thought this was the dumbest opinion at the time, but in retrospect, this is really, really stupid. All those stick to sports people. Do you remember this vocal minority, I suppose, who were urging broadcasters and athletes to, you know, shut up and play, or, you know, just do your job. We don't want to hear you be political or have, you know, oh my God, wouldn't it suck if our athletes stuck to sports? At a time like this.
I never liked that at all because, you know, and I remember going for a job interview once and someone, I forget who it was, saying to me, yeah, but what do you know besides sports? They only looked at me as a sports guy.
Fuck, you're a musicologist.
How could Mark Hepscher have any financial acumen or know anything about traveling or decorating at home, raising children? Yeah. What books does he like to read? No, you're a sports guy. That's what you do. You wake up in the morning and it's all sports and that's it. You have no other abilities.
And by the way, the people out there who live and breathe sports like it's the most important thing on the planet and just want their NBA playoff games tonight, those people typically just suck as human beings. Like if your whole world, seriously, like if your whole world is watching your team winning or losing that night, if that's everything to you, I'm sorry. Like that, go see a therapist or a...
Wait a minute. Hang on, Mike. No, I disagree.
So,
I disagree. I think
tell
a lot
me
of
why
people
you disagree.
Live.
Yeah.
And look, I know a lot of people, for example, that are Blue Jay fans. They met because they were both Blue Jay fans.
Yeah. It's like a hobby.
And so their common passion is the baseball team.
Okay.
And to be able to follow that team on a daily basis and live and die with that team with your partner is a very strong and deep connection.
I'm not here to be against sports fans. We need them. Otherwise, who would be watching and listening to Hebsy on Sports? But sports fans, I'm a sports fan, but you have to be able to look at things in the world that are bigger than this game that right. entertains you. Like, to me, this is a great example. And it's kind of when you look back at Hebsy on Sports, for example, we spend like this is episode 200, okay? The first episodes were literally about sports. Like this, we talked about sports, and I gotta say, this show has completely morphed along with the world we live in because it's never just about sports anymore. You know, there's a pandemic, Black Lives Matter. Like these things are bigger than sports.
But we've always talked about issues. We've talked about education,
right.
And how your kids go to school, and minor sports, and how much it costs to put them through.
Right.
You know, minor sports and relationships and what, you know, what your kids, have encountered, for example, when it comes to racism or sexism or, I don't know, ageism. I mean, all these types of things are part of our daily life. So this fits right in. Had this happened 20 years ago without social media, I don't know what it would be like. I have no idea how much of it would we be watching on television. How much time would they devote on TV to this if that was your main source of getting your visual news?
We live in interesting times.
Yeah. So let's talk about the NBA because these were the guys that started everything. And regarding the postponement of games and the strike by players, broadcaster writer Jason Whitlock said this, and I'm going to quote here. Rather than a pointless gesture designed to garner attention or organizing protests designed to seek justice for a resisting criminal suspect, why can't we encourage Black professional athletes to pool their economic resources and invest in Black communities? He goes on to say, jobs combat racism far more than destroying sports leagues that employ and compensate Black men. Black professional athletes could start banks and businesses that dramatically improve Black communities. End quote. Whitlock, who calls the NBA's bubble, quote, a bubble of hate, says the NBA should cancel the season, that the players will not be motivated to play their best basketball when they have these issues on their minds. Pretty powerful stuff.
Indeed, indeed.
And by the way, Jason Whitlock is a Black man. So he can write this and say this. I don't believe a white writer would have taken something like this on.
Whew. I find this all...
But do you agree?
I don't know. I actually don't know. Like, do you agree?
I do. Because I mean, I've seen the talk.
No,
I
mean,
need to see the action.
Okay, so...
I need to know that LeBron James or whatever his gang just wrote a check for $50 million.
Yeah.
And these at-risk communities are the first ones that they're going after. That they're going into Kenosha, Wisconsin. And they're going into, I can't even think of the names of the towns now where all these took place. Bloomington, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Bloomington, Minnesota. That they're going to go in there and they're physically, the players have promised that they are going to go into these communities. And have a real change. It's not just the writing the check. It's the going and delivering it in person and saying, we remember you. We want to see this community grow. And then they're going to go back in a year or two and say, look at how far this community has come. Right. And they're going to make a real change. And 100 years from now, people are going to go, you see that community there? That was nothing back in 2020. And then this happened and that happened and we affected change. And look where we are now. That's a legacy.
Okay. We're on the heels of what historical. I don't think this has ever happened before. Where, you know, I know this has never happened before. That, you know, the players had a wildcat strike and refused to take the court for a playoff game in the NBA. Like this is again. I'll use the word unprecedented again. On the heels of that, which put this right back into the front page of the newspapers. Does anyone read newspapers anymore? But you know what I mean. It's back in the news cycle and has us all talking and families. I've been talking with my family. I've been talking on my podcast, your podcast. I just think it's to say that's not enough. You should make a statement like it's a bubble of hate and that you should cancel the season and do this. I'm not willing. Like I'm not going there because I'm so damn proud of the actions I'm seeing right now. Like this is a fluid happening now situation. It's not a moment. It's a
movement.
But
unless something is done about it, it's going to, you know, a year from now, people are going to go, hey, remember those 2 days of protests where everybody got up in arms? You'd be back to your normal life, not even thinking about it. So something's got to be done. And an announcement of some sort has to be made during this time from, again, LeBron James, the NBA. What if the NBA said, you know, we're going to match every dollar raised by the LeBron James Foundation and it's going to go into these communities. We're going to build. So we're going to provide jobs. We're going to provide education. We're going to provide, green space, whatever it is.
But we're living this history right now. Like this is, I feel like we need to let this breathe a little because it's literally we're right in the eye of the hurricane here where this is happening now, if you will. And I feel like I'm sure initiatives like that will be a result of these.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think LeBron's already got an amazing, LeBron James.
I think LeBron James should host a town hall. I think he should just basically say, we were going to play a playoff game. We want that 3 hours or whatever, and we want to do our own TV show. Christ, the guy managed to manipulate his the decision from Miami.
Right.
Shouldn't be too tough for him to say, this is what's going on, and I think my voice should be heard. And I've been speaking with other people, and I know some pretty influential people that can affect change right now. But so let's have a town hall starring LeBron James.
After 200 episodes, I feel I know you pretty well here, Hebsy. And this is kind of similar, where, for example, Kelly Rudy will make that statement, which I will be filled with pride that he is expressing that on the air on Sportsnet, and you'll be like, I wish he walked off. So it's almost like you have very high expectations and always want that next level.
Talk is cheap. Okay.
And I hear you.
Again, not against Kelly or anyone, but I mean, you can say something, but did you follow through and do something about it? Did you affect change, or did you just kind of go, yeah, we shouldn't be doing the telecast, but then do the telecast?
Were you upset that night when the
have you ever gone to a restaurant and said, you know, we shouldn't be eating here? And then but you went and ate anyway because everybody else wanted to, and it wasn't that great.
Probably. But
you had originally said, I don't want to do this. I don't feel right about this. And they went, oh, come on. Go ahead.
Well, you mean just because the food sucks, right? Not because the owner's
whatever
a racist
the case
asshole.
Was, you
or
had
something.
A certain conviction at first. You
okay, if it's a real
right.
conviction, like.
And you said it. And you said it.
Like. They give money to anti-choice organizations or something like that. I wouldn't go. Like, no matter how who wanted to go, I'd be like, I'm not going there. Like, Chick-fil-A, okay? I'm never eating at Chick-fil-A. Like, you can't get me to go to Chick-fil-A because I'm just not going to eat there. I'll eat chicken sandwiches somewhere else. But what? If it's like, yeah, you know, so they there's a lot of money from that organization. They're a very religious organization that spent money on anti-gay initiatives and causes and stuff. And so I'm not going to buy a chicken sandwich. That's just my personal decision. If you want to go eat a chicken sandwich there, go ahead, knock, fill your boots. But if it's like, oh, the food sucks here, but everyone wants to go there, I'll go there. It depends on what, you know, what's my stand against this particular right. establishment.
Okay, here's what really pissed me off.
Hey, talk to me.
And
talk
I'm to reverting now back to being a sports fan.
Okay.
Being a Neanderthal sports fan. Dragging my knuckles along the ground because I love sports.
Right.
And trying to put aside all of the protests, strikes, not threats, but just the bubbling over of, like, I'm cringing waiting to see the next video that shows a white cop shooting a black person. I'm just, you know, it's going to happen. And it's sort of going to start the cycle over again. But at this particular point, I'm kind of like, as a sports fan, I'm like, okay, I get it and all that. But boy, I really want to see some sports. And I watched golf yesterday and it was good. It was golf. It's pro golf. I watched some tennis. It's good. It's real tennis. It's the Western and Southern Open. But, you know, I wanted to see the Blue Jays because I'd been watching them. And they had a couple games postponed early on, and now they've played, I don't know, 15 days in a row or something like that, and I'm getting into it. And I hear that yesterday afternoon that the Jays have voted to play their game against the Red Sox. I'm like, oh, okay, good. I didn't say, oh, that's not right, because I knew that baseball was being played. I knew there were games that were going on. There wasn't even a discussion as to whether they would be postponed. The San Diego Padres, the Giants, the Dodgers, those games are going on. From what I could tell, if there were discussions about it, teams voted to keep playing.
There must have been a discussion.
Yeah, well, not a very serious one because they ended up playing. And even last night they played, there was 8 games that were played.
Right, right.
So I'm thinking at about, I don't know what time it was, late in the afternoon. Oh, the Jays game's going to be on. Okay, good. Make a steak for dinner, corn on the cob, watch the Jays game. And they've just voted that they want to play. And then I find out that the Red Sox voted that they didn't want to play. Jackie Bradley Jr. is the only black player on the Red Sox, and Tom Goodwin is one of the coaches, also a black man, and you know, after discussion and a vote, they voted to not play. And the first thing I thought of, Mike, forfeit. Jays win.
Oh, that's
we're battling for a division. We're
now
battling
I'm disappointed
for a wild card
in you,
spot. We're battling for a playoff spot with this young team of ours, with injuries and everything like that that I'm invested in. I'm passionately following this team, and all I can think of is, that's a forfeit. We wanted to play. They didn't want to play. Other teams are playing. We win by forfeit. And so that was the overriding thought there. There's no other way to think of it. There wasn't, oh, it would be good for the Jays. Look, if you voted, imagine this. Suppose you voted to not play.
Yeah.
And the other team voted to play and you were forced to play. We didn't want to play, but we got to play or else we're going to forfeit. Are you really going to play your best game? Are you really going to go out there and give it 100% when your heart's just not in it, when you were prepared to not play? So this is a problem that I have, not just with baseball, but with all the sports, is are their hearts really in it? Are we getting the best? Is this going to be an asterisk season for all of sports? Because are the players' hearts in it? And as time goes on and we get closer and closer to the end, and the more and more days that you're staying in a bubble or in a confined environment, what's going to happen? What's it going to be like? Is somebody going to blow their stack? Their temper's going to go crazy because they've been confined. It's been,
yeah, but baseball players aren't even in a damn bubble.
I don't know. I'm not aware of it. But in baseball, I can tell you this. If I vote to play and all my teammates say, let's play.
Yeah.
And the other team says, we don't want to play. I go, that's a forfeit.
That's
baby.
Bullshit. Hebsy, that's the worst thing I ever heard.
We win.
I am almost.
I want to win. Why are we playing the games, Mike? Are we playing the games so at the end of the season we can go, oh, it was nice to see
that's
the
Blue Jays worst take you've ever had, Hebsy, man. Hold on. That's the worst take you've ever had. Like I imagine how disgusted would you be if a team, if it was a forfeit instead of a whatever they're calling it, postponement or whatever. Like if a team says we're not taking the field at this time for those reasons. First of all, the Red Sox have a team in their city that is not playing playoff games right now. So there's a huge solidarity there because the Celtics weren't going to take the court yesterday with the Raptors.
Yeah, but the Bruins were going to take the ice.
Well, that's the tone-deaf NHL, which is, I'm already boycotting them.
It's
but
got
listen
nothing to
me.
Do with the NHL.
Hebsy,
Bruins players could have said, we're not going.
If, of course.
We're standing in solidarity with other Boston professional athletes.
I wish they had. They should have. So when the Red... Hebsy, man, hold on. Yeah, of course. They should not have played that damn game. Listen, Hebsy,
Mike,
man. Hebsy, man, hold on. Let me
look around and see other teams are playing. All these other teams are playing. And you're going, do you guys want to play? And everybody goes, yeah, we want to play.
The
other team that you're supposed to play says, no, we don't want to. And you say to them, but wait a minute. All these other teams want to play. Every one of them. San Diego Padres have, many players of color. Sort of the Dodgers.
It's not about that.
Oh, bullshit, Mike.
Hebsy,
don't
man.
Don't give me this nonsense. You know as well as I do
yeah.
that if your team was going for a pennant and they'd been playing every night and there had been no talk of, you're going to say, if you were a San Diego Padres fan, oh, how come these guys don't boycott? Why are they playing? You're going, yeah, I love watching them play. They're an exciting team.
Hebsy, I'm living and dying by the Raptors right now, and I'm in love with this team. It's probably my favorite team since the 93 Blue Jays. I'm madly in love with this Raptors team, and I couldn't wait for game one. I was rearranging everything. I was so proud when I heard they weren't playing game one. Let me just finish one quick thought on the real quick thought on the Bruins. The Bruins literally share, in normal times, they literally share a facility with the Celtics. Like, they play at the same damn arena. And
I understand that, Mike.
The fact that there was no solidarity there. So back to the Red Sox real quick. If the Red Sox decide we're not taking the field, to have even a moment where you're happy to get the forfeit win, like to get the win of a forfeit, to me, that's a little bit disturbing to me. Like, that's your reaction. Who cares about the damn win? Go ahead.
Let me ask you this question. If you were in the locker room and there was a vote to be made, and he says, guys, we're going to vote as to whether to play or not to play. And someone said, I have a question. If we vote to not play, are we prepared to forfeit the game if the other team says we want to play? How many of the players would have voted to not play if they knew that forfeit would cost them a game in the standings? Now, the
All
Red Sox
them.
Don't care. They're out of it anyway. But I'm telling you that if you're going to play the games, play them for a reason.
The Bucks were prepared to forfeit
play the
that
games,
game.
Then don't play them for a reason.
But the Bucks were prepared.
Not because everybody else is doing it. Not because half the guys are doing it. If you're convinced that this is the right thing to do, then do it.
Right.
But if everyone else around you, the rest of the league, Major League Baseball says, you guys make up your own minds.
Right.
And the Blue Jays made up their minds that they wanted to play.
Which is sad.
And then the Red Sox came along and said, we don't want to play. And then the Blue Jays said, well, okay, I guess, if we're going to have to respect that because we would look like real assholes.
Oh my God.
If we took a forfeit from you.
Huge assholes if they took a
Too
forfeit
bad.
Win.
Tough. Red Has Sox he- should say, you know what? Jackie Bradley Jr. doesn't want to play. We respect that. Tom Goodwin, the coach, doesn't want to play. We respect that. But the rest of us, we're going to play because if we don't, we're going to have to forfeit.
I can't figure you out.
Would have been a different thing.
Either you're not sticking to sports and you think there are some things bigger than sports, or you're all about wins and losses. Like in this instance, at this time, how could you possibly want to take
the
forfeit win?
Only two teams that had not postponed their game. I see your point. But if they knew that all these other games were being played, which meant both teams agreed to play, and you've agreed to play, and your opponent said no, that's a forfeit.
That's bullshit.
Not going to talk about it anymore. I'm right and you're wrong.
I would never watch another fucking baseball game if I saw a team take bullshit, a forfeit win at this time. Watch. I'm done.
You'd watch.
Watch me. I'm telling
you. You would take the forfeit because now we're 1.5 games out of first place.
Bullshit. Hebsy, I can't tell you how passionately I disagree with that, even having that thought in your mind that you'd want the forfeit
win. I'm a fan. I want to win anyway.
Now I want a team to do it to show you. Never watch another baseball game. I don't care if the Blue Jays are in the World Series.
Is that so wrong that they wanted to play? Tell me.
It's not about wanting to play is different than taking a forfeit win.
Do you have less respect for the Blue Jay players because they wanted to play?
I had less respect for the Blue Jay players for taking the field two nights ago. I thought on Wednesday night that they should have left the field, I thought. But I tweeted it actually. I said I hope the Blue Jays follow
suit.
You've got
high expectations of the human race, don't you?
It's just baseball, man.
One sport that has not been affected at all by this is golf. And as a participant and a viewer, I have mixed feelings about this, but I have to tell you that when I'm on the golf course, especially at Crosswinds Golf and Country Club where I love to play, I can get away from this. And when I say get away from it, it's not that it's distasteful to me, but you know, sometimes you need a chance to breathe and just spend some time for yourself. And I love to play golf. Love it. And so I suggest to you that if you enjoy the sport and you enjoy the beauty and the splendor of the great outdoors, then Crosswinds Golf and Country Club is for you. It's located in North Burlington. It's right in between Mount Nemo and Rattlesnake Point on the Niagara Escarpment, a beautiful piece of property. Green fees start at $68 during the week. Really, not much at all compared to some of the prices in Toronto. And the course is in fantastic shape. Always is. Beautiful views from every tee and a commitment to excellence from the Crosswinds staff that will make you feel good about yourself. So, you know, you need a 4 or 4.5 hours to get away and play some golf and enjoy the beauty of nature. Get away from it all, as it were. Go to Crosswinds Golf and Country Club. Go to crosswindsgolf.com to book your tee time online and tell them Hebsy sent you. Now, Mike,
yes.
At this time of the year, the PGA Tour gets down to like the 70 best players. And then next week, it's going to be like the top, I think it's 30 or 35. This week is the BMW Championship. This is like the playoffs of golf. It is the playoffs of golf. And no player that I know of, any significant player, has decided to not play because and protesting Black Lives Matter. They have not. Tiger Woods is black, of course. Harold Varner Jr. Is black. There are Tony Finau. There are several men of color on the PGA Tour. They're not boycotting this event at the BMW Championship. So 70 players are trying to secure their place in the final group at the Tour Championship next week, the top 30. Hideki Matsuyama of Japan shot a 367 on the North Course at Olympia Fields near Chicago, one of the tougher layouts on the PGA Tour. If you can break par in this course, man, you are some player. Mackenzie Hughes of Dundas, Ontario, had the lead for a time yesterday, but dropped back to 1 under. He's 2 shots off the pace. Adam Hadwin shot a 4 over 74. Nick Taylor at 5 over. Corey Connors at 6 over par. Tiger Woods, who started on the back nine, was in the hunt with 3 holes to go at even par, but he bogeyed 7, he bogeyed 8, and he bogeyed 9 and fell to 3 over par. Ooh. And then they teed off. I think they started 11:30 this morning. And then I don't believe there's a cut. I could be wrong here, but I don't think there's a cut here because you're playing for points, but I could be wrong. And I have been wrong before. In tennis, Naomi Osaka withdrew from the Western and Southern Open in protest of racial injustice. Others have withdrawn from the U.S. Open next week. Mike, in some cases, it's not exactly clear as to why they've withdrawn. I think it's a combination of things.
And I know who you're talking about.
Pardon?
I know who you're talking about, too. Our Bianca.
Well, listen, the difference between injuries and COVID-19 and protesting Black Lives Matter, not protesting, but as you know, being in solidarity with Black Lives Matter and not wanting to travel and other things like that, you're just not sure. But it's a convenient time to say, I'm not going.
Agreed. And Bianca, it could be a bit of bit from column A, a bit from column B. Like, why this is not the time to come back early, if you will. You take the time to recover fully and wait till things return to something at least resembling normalcy.
Do you know what the other thing is? If you were going to pick a time where you're, like you say, you're going to make a comeback, what if she came back and won the U.S. Open, but the media attention just wasn't the same because of what's going on in the world? And maybe certain players, I don't know, Serena Williams or others, withdrew or were knocked out early or whatever the case was. It would be like a kind of a tainted, like anything in sports this year. Just, it doesn't have the same oomph as it does in other years.
Yeah, but just like
maybe
the Raptors.
This isn't the year to say, hey, let's put on a big splash.
And she's in the same spot as the Raptors, where at least they can say, hey, we won it last year too. So.
Right. Okay.
Oh, can I set this up? Are we ready? Because I just want to set this up by saying I'm very titillated by the fact you've got a Canadian sports media exclusive. Like, you're going to tell us somebody at Sportsnet was let go that's not out there in the mainstream net. So when I hear this from you, and I think it's coming right now, so everybody should be excited, I will give you full credit when I write about it on TorontoMike.com later today. I'm going to source it. This is Hebsy Says from Hebsy on Sports.
So this comes down to the surprise announcement a few months ago that Chris Cuthbert was leaving TSN to go to Sportsnet to do hockey.
Yes.
Now, we were in the middle of some pretty heavy stuff at that time. And so it didn't carry the same weight as it might have in the middle of a season when there was sports going on. And suddenly you hear the voice of Chris Cuthbert that was here on TSN, and now you're hearing it. It's over here on Sportsnet.
Right.
The timing was good. The way I understand the story was Chris Cuthbert, as we know, was the number one or 1A along with Gord Miller, hockey caller at TSN, and that he was also the number one CFL play-by-play caller, of which at the time, you know, the CFL was and still is their futures up in the air.
Right.
So if your job is to call play-by-play, and remember, Chris doesn't anchor SportsCenter. Chris doesn't do the panel shows. Chris is rarely, if ever, a guest on some, he might be a guest on some of the radio shows, that type of thing, but his commitment is he calls play-by-play. And he does a lot of it. And he also freelances for NBC Sports when they have NHL games. So he's a play-by-play guy.
Right.
And now he sees that Rogers has all of the playoff hockey. And TSN doesn't have any. There's no games to call there. And there's no CFL. And, you know, Chris is, I don't know, I guess he's probably around 60, I would say. You know,
around
this is your job. The more you're on the air, the more games you're doing, the better you are. And he's a great play-by-play guy. So what's he going to do at TSN? So he picks up the phone and he calls Sportsnet and he says, hi, just was wondering if you might have a spot for me there. I think you know what I'm capable of doing. And they say, yeah, you know what? Come on in. And that is the way I understand it, is how the deal was done for Chris Cuthbert.
Which makes sense. That makes sense.
Makes sense, right? I mean, would it have made sense for Sportsnet to call him? Yeah, maybe so, if they knew that he was unhappy there, or they sensed that he wasn't getting any work and they were looking for another play-by-play guy. Yeah, but why would Sportsnet be looking for another play-by-play guy? I mean, did they not have Dave Randorf ready and waiting to ascend, you know, when Bob Cole was going? Didn't we not say, okay, well, the future guys are going to be, well, we've got Jim Houston already, but Randorf, 20 years plus doing national games.
Yes.
Well, they didn't renew Dave Randorf's contract.
Oh, I like Dave Randorf. So here, I get it. Full disclosure. And he absolutely loved the episode of Toronto Mike with Stephen Page and wrote me a lovely note about it. So I just shout out to Dave Randorf. Yeah.
So I reached out to Dave Randorf. His Twitter feed no longer said Dave Randorf play-by-play for Sportsnet Hockey.
Right.
And he confirmed the fact that he didn't have his contract renewed and said that Rogers had left him by the side of the road. Now, did Paul Romanek not tell you a similar kind of story about Rogers?
He's still pissed about it.
He was promised certain things and it was hoped and expected that he would ascend to a particular position. And then he did the playoffs, and then whoop.
Similar parallels to Randorf, because Romanek called a conference final the season before he was canned. Yeah. So he's like, I mean, I kind of like, you know, I had a live camera on him and I asked about it. So he did answer it, but he's basically, he was very bitter. He was very angry about the whole experience and how he was lied to by the person who was there, but is no longer there. So this is a different person who made the decision on Dave Randorf, but similar. So
it's about trust, you know, you got to trust the person who's your boss or whatever that says, don't you worry about it, but you're the guy, you're the one. I had gotten the same thing from Scott Moore when I went to Sportsnet. I went on the promise of that I would be doing this, this, and this.
That's the guy Romanek, you know, was pissed at.
And he didn't deliver on his promises. I mean, he had me, they got me there, and then left me to fend for myself.
Can I ask you, so Mr. That, Sports
that
Media?
That
yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but...
did not materialize, and it left me bitter as well.
Would a job like Dave Randorf, who calls a good hockey game, although again mainly West Coast stuff, so I'm always watching Leafs.
No. What are you talking about? Montreal Canadiens games.
Okay, sorry. I must confess, most of my hockey watching are Maple Leaf games, so I rarely get to hear Dave
right.
Randorf.
And you don't watch the Sportsnet regional games with Ottawa or with not regional games. I guess yeah, you don't see the Sportsnet.
Well, there are Sportsnet
broadcasters
regional
out of Calgary, for example.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
Ryan Leslie, or out of
never.
You know, guys like Kevin Quinn,
no.
John Shorthouse in Vancouver, John Garrett. I mean, those crews we don't get to see very often if we're watching right. Sportsnet Ontario, and because the other games are blacked out, right?
Right. So would a Dave Randorf, would it be like, would he have, tell me, I really am ignorant. You know this stuff, but do you sign like a 3-year contract? And then at the end of the 3 years you renegotiate or you don't?
Yeah,
like,
I think so. 4 years.
So he had a contract that was up and they basically decided to swap him for Chris Cuthbert. Is that essentially what Rogers decided to do?
It looks like it. But obviously leading up to the contract, the expiration of the contract, Randorf figured, and rightly so, that he was in good shape, right? That it was going to be, Houston was going to be the number one crew. Bob Cole was gone, right? Randorf would have been the number two crew.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he didn't see this coming. I had him on Toronto Mike. I would say that was in like June or May. May or June, I had Dave Randorf on. And he absolutely did not see this coming at the time.
Right. And then imagine finding out that Chris Cuthbert had just been hired to be your 1A guy. And now you're like, uh-oh, that was supposed to be me and my contract is up.
Okay.
And what about that promise I was given? And I don't know what the promise was, but I assume that the promise was, look, you sign here and you're going to be our number two, you know, guy. You're going to be our number two guy after Jim Houston, because this is what's going to happen.
I'm sorry to hear this, because he's a nice gentleman and he calls a good game. So, you know,
right. So Dave Randorf, by the way, a white man, I think I'm going to point that out.
But he was replaced by a white man.
Paul Romanek, Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean, John Shannon, Damian Cox, Darren Millard, Bob McCowan, Don Cherry, Bob Cole, Glenn Healy, George Strombolopoulos. I'm sure I'm missing out on some people. White guys, sure. No longer working at Sportsnet on the hockey broadcasts, on the main broad big radio shows, all that stuff.
No, but you know, I'm with you on that. That yes, they're all white men who have been let go here. But he was replaced by a white man, so it's not you know, they didn't diversify on this move.
And speaking of which, I reached out to Brendan Dunlop, the fine Sportsnet anchor who does weekends with Martin Gaillard.
Yes, he does a lot of soccer stuff, right? He's not there anymore.
No longer.
Oh my goodness, Hebsy, you're dropping two bombs here. These are Hebsy bombs.
He could not confirm his status with Sportsnet with me. He couldn't confirm it. And so I think that there's an issue there, that whether he's trying to negotiate something else or whether they offered him something else or whatever the case is, I don't know. But in the meantime, Brendan Dunlop, you're not going to see anchoring on Sportsnet anymore. So, and he's a free agent, and I feel bad because I thought he's a solid anchor, good and a good reporter. But hopefully he'll land on his feet. I know he does have some soccer stuff going with One Soccer, but you know, another casualty.
Well, I don't like to hear anyone
losing
their
job. Okay, Sportsnet. Does it seem to you that they are pushing a dozen or so people off a cliff every year?
Yeah,
that their turnover rate is just staggering. That all the names of people that I had mentioned were key figures on those hockey telecasts and other telecasts for a long time. The attrition rate is staggering at Sportsnet, is it not?
I think also you miss Mike Johnson. I think he was a Sportsnet guy who got...
Yeah, he did. You're right. Landed on his feet.
Throw him on there. Yeah, but you can throw him in the pile there.
Well, Darren Drager was there too, right?
Yeah, well, that's different because he crossed the parking lot on his own volition. yeah, he jumped to the competitor. Right. But so go ahead.
No, I was asking you, you know, that what your opinion is.
No, it's it's absolute. Like you've worked in the industry, I haven't, but because I observe it so closely, it does seem like every year, maybe a couple of times a year, there are these waves of cost cutting measures, and a lot of people who might be paid a reasonable wage are kind of cut for doing so. It feels like your best bet to survive in sports media is to keep your salary nice and low, and that's a terrible premise to have in your professional career.
Fly under the radar.
Right.
Because how many billions did they spend on the 12-year contract?
Five.
And by the way, there's nobody, like I said, there's nobody except for Ron McLean and Elliot Friedman. There's nobody left.
Well, I mean, you still have your Jim Houston and Chris, you still have Jim and those guys, but you mean on the panel? Yeah, you're right. I'm trying to think.
Yeah. There's nobody left.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah. A lot of turnover, a lot of turnover.
And so, you know, so let's talk about diversity too. Because it's a very, very important, especially now. At Rogers, they try to show diversity on their Sportsnet TV channels, right? You know, they've got Martine Geyer, Caroline Cameron, Carly Agro, Ivanka Osmak, Chris Simpson, Danielle Michaud, Cassie Campbell, Nikki Reyes, Tara Sloan, you know?
Yeah.
A good number of female voices, faces, because it's television.
Right.
But now do we go, if we went to Rogers Radio, like in Toronto, it would be The Fan.
Right.
Not one female voice. With the exception of Ashley Docking, who was bounced from the morning show after 11 months.
Right.
Last year, when one of the other hosts refused to work with her.
Basically is that another Hebsy bomb? Is that another Hebsy bomb you're dropping here?
You know that. We've discussed it already.
I know, but some people are tuning
in. I told you that. One of the other hosts said that they would not work with her. That's the way I understand the story. So since then, not one female voice on The Fan. None. Not even Mike as a guest host. Not even to say, and by the way, sitting in today, Carolyn Cameron joins us from Sportsnet. Here's Chris Simpson joining us, guest hosting today.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, they have a rate on the radio side. There is a huge diversity issue on that station.
No,
there has been for a long time.
At all, but not just in Toronto. Okay. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. No women. Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. No female on air voices.
Wow. Yeah.
And quite frankly, Mike, if we're going to be talking about Rogers and The Fan and their broadcasters, and I have nothing, I'm a huge Blue Jays fan, as you know. I have nothing against Ben Wagner, who spent 10 years doing Buffalo Bisons games before getting the call to the big leagues. He was promoted to the big leagues because he had been doing the minor league games in Buffalo.
Right.
But, you know, Rogers had this guy, Elliot Price, who was on the morning show with Greg Brady, who had tremendous play-by-play experience, had done the Montreal Expos games for a couple of years and knew the Blue Jays, loved the Blue Jays, followed the Blue Jays since he was a kid, and a very good play-by-play announcer. Why wouldn't they promote him? They knew once Jerry Howarth was leaving, why wouldn't they say, we got Elliot Price here. He's got Major League Baseball experience, and he's been doing the morning show in Toronto for a couple of years. But instead, they decided to promote Ben Wagner, and I believe they promoted Mike Wilner to the number two man in the booth at the same time.
Yeah.
Or I could be off by a year.
Well, that's when they got Scott
Joe Siddle for a year.
Well, they brought that coincides with the recruiting of Scott MacArthur from TSN to do the Jays Talk telecast, so Wilner could be in the booth. They didn't like, because, you know, doing Jays Talk made Wilner a little polarizing himself, and then you can't be a play-by-play guy and be polarizing to the fan base. Like, that's not a position where you can be.
Well, I was listening to the game the other night on the radio, and I had trouble getting into it. There wasn't, the chemistry wasn't there. Like, you know, a lot of times, especially these days where maybe you're not at the game or you're, you know, distant or whatever, you've got to have really good chemistry with your sidekick. You know, you got to be telling stories. But I just found there was a lot of dead air and a lot of, you know, one guy talking and not hearing the other guy. And I remember back in the day, the early days of Jerry Howarth and Tom Cheek, you know, Jerry was very deferential to Tom. Tom would do all the talking, and Jerry rarely, when it wasn't his turn to do play-by-play, would rarely, you know, kind of chime in the early days. He had to get a feel for Tom. And then as time went on, there was more interplay, but it seemed as if they were distant from each other. Mm-hmm. And I get that feeling with Wilner and Ben Wagner, that they're not yet, or maybe they're on their way to, but haven't quite reached that nice, comfortable chemistry where a baseball fan can listen in to the two of them and feel, you know, entertained and like they're buddies and, you know, kind of a, I don't know, a warm and fuzzy feeling, but for lack of a better term, yeah, you want that with your baseball play-by-play team.
Now, do you think with the Elliott Price, because I know they probably, I'm assuming they considered him and didn't, and obviously they didn't choose him because he didn't get offered the job.
No, but, I don't think so. I don't think they're that smart.
But do you think it's possibly ageist? And I don't, I'm not suggesting Elliott Price is a, you know, an 80-year-old man here, but Elliott does have a number of years on the other two gentlemen. And did you think that maybe they just didn't want to give a 60-something the reins right now?
Oh, I think doing play-by-play, that's the last thing you think of, is the age of the play-by-play announcer. The last thing you think of.
Because it's Vince, a voice. Vince Scully.
And sometimes that voice has to have the sound of experience and a certain timbre to it. And that only comes with a more mature voice. I'm not sure a young broadcaster doing Major League Baseball would attract other listeners. I don't know. That's a hard thing to say. I'm trying to think of like a young sounding play-by-play guy. Who?
I don't know enough play-by-play guys to have a good answer there. I will
there
say
aren't.
Though,
here's what happens with play-by-play guys. You continue doing play-by-play until you're at least 80.
Right.
Or you're forced out in your 70s.
Because like, Jerry Howard's not 80.
Or your voice isn't as strong or whatever.
Right.
But all play-by-play guys in every sport are the longest lasting broadcasters.
Right. Right, right, right.
Vince Scully, you know, until he was in his 90s. I mean, it's like, you know, hi, everybody.
Well, familiarity is a big deal in that.
You got it, especially in radio.
Now, I'm personally, I don't listen to as much Blue Jays as I used to, but I'm still kind of warming up to Ben Wagner. But I actually am, maybe I'm biased because I like the gentleman, but I like the way Wilner calls a game. So,
oh no, you don't get me wrong. I like Wilner too, but Wilner and Wagner doesn't do it for me. Wilner and Elliott Price would do it for me. I can kind of hear the two of them back and forth. And look, I've worked with many co-hosts over the years, and it's not an instantaneous boom get together. It takes time,
right?
And it takes effort, but it also takes encouragement and direction from your bosses.
To
what sounds good and what doesn't sound good. And I don't know if the guy who's in charge of the fan personalities has sat them down to go, guys, you know, here there was too much dead air, or why don't you know, what do you guys discuss before the game? And you know, how much personality do we want? How much chemistry do we want versus how much straight play-by-play call do we want?
We're all just looking for...
What are our listeners asking for?
We're all just looking for Hebsy and Taddy. That's what we're looking for. Come on.
Nah, not for play-by-play.
I'm just kidding. By the way, you brought... I got to say, we're at the end here, but the 200, this is a milestone episode. Now, episode 200 of Hebsy on Sports, you really brought it. I'm telling you, we almost came to... there was almost fisticuffs. We had a great debate. There was a blockbuster, you know, I call them the Hebsy bombs you were dropping at the end of the sports media with Dave Randorf, et cetera, and Brendan Dunlop. Man, this was quite the episode. One for the ages.
I'm exhausted.
I got to play out then. That means I got to play some
last logos. Episode number 200 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration and keeping me in line. Hit him up at Toronto Mike. He's got some fantastic podcasts, great guests, and every Friday he does Pandemic Friday with Cam Gordon and Stu Stone. It's must listen to podcast.
That's an endorsement.
Thanks also to our great sponsor, Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. I've created a monster, folks, because Crosswinds has become so popular, even I can't get on. I tried to book a tee time for this weekend. I can't get on, even with my pull. So it's great. I'm happy for them. Go to crosswindsgolf.com to book your tee time online. You can book, I think, up to 2 weeks in advance. So if you're looking to play like next weekend, you do your booking now.
Yeah.
Crosswindsgolf.com. Hey, thanks for allowing us into your headspace. It's been a pleasure talking with you today. Back with another exciting episode next week. Until then, so long. This podcast has been produced by TMDS and accelerated by Rome Phone. Rome Phone brings you the most reliable virtual phone service to run your business and protect your home number from unwanted calls. Visit roamphone.ca to get started.